Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're talking trash today. Yes, trash, like in recyclables, all kinds of good things. And we have a delightful guest, Lillian Brummett, who lives in the southwest region of British Columbia. And she and her husband, Dave, have been very much involved in recycling. In fact, though she's written another book, trash is their passion. Lillian, welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Donna. Thank you for having me today.
How in the world did the two of you, you and your husband Dave, get involved with trash?
Well, you know, really, we started, just as the average individual, with the recycling industry when it first started up in our region. And when it first started, we were only able to recycle things like newspaper and phone books and some glass and only tin cans from like soup cans and that kind of thing. There was also the returnable bottles, you know, the pop cans, pop bottles, alcohol containers. Those were recyclable as well when we first started into the recycling world. We were both raised in very waste-conscious lifestyle homes in our childhood, and so Dave and I were both very familiar with this aspect of leaving what our footprint is on the environment, and our parents were very conscious of this. So we were very privileged in that regard, and having an early start in the passion that we have in life. And when we met together, there was a time in our life when we started, you know, we were going through the typical journeys of pursuing careers and education and getting, you know, certificates and trying to get advanced in life as society and family would have us do. And we had a series of events that really changed our life. It really changed our focus on life. Including an accident. I was personally involved in a couple of accidents. None of them were my fault. It was other people hitting me. I was the last one was a three-car pileup that put me in rehab for a year full-time. I was there every day, every single day, except for, of course, Sunday, which they were closed. And then I was doing stuff at home as well when I wasn't in the physio clinic, just trying to get better, trying to get back to work and struggling to get my career back. And I was, at the time, I had built a self-employed business. We had both built our own separate self-employed businesses, which we supported each other with. And mine was involved serving sort of the upper middle class genre or social fitting in society. It was sort of an upper middle class, not mansions, but more upper middle class was the type of clientele that I had. And I was working that for about 6 or 7 years, and it was quite successful, and then I got involved in this accident. So I was very depressed, not feeling very good about life, feeling like, you know, why was I struggling so hard to get past all of these issues in life, you know, from growing up from a broken home, from being on my own when I was 13, and putting myself through school and doing all of this, building the career, only to find it all taken away from me just from circumstance. It wasn't fault of my own. It was things happened, you know. And it was really frustrating for me as an individual to have this happen. And so because this was my passion and because writing came so naturally for me, for it was, in fact, a thing that helped me heal from my past and helped me deal with my past. And so it was a very natural process for me to look at writing as an alternative career. And also, there was this individual that I was working for. She was, again, part of this, you know, more upper middle class level of society. And she was very afraid of going shopping at secondhand stores or being seen in reuse centers because she didn't want her peers to see her there and think, oh, my God, there's this, you know, Scrooge. Here's this, you know, she can afford to give her kids so much more. What is she doing here? You know, this kind of thing. She was very mm-hmm. afraid. And yet, when her neighbors started, when the city started bringing in, you know, this blue box and green box curbside pickup, which is your, you know, your recyclables and your organics, when the city started bringing in this service into the region, she just had to be seen to be participating in this because her neighbors were doing this. She just had to have that box out in time because what would her neighbors think if she wasn't, you know, one of those kinds of things. And it was at that time that Dave and I realized that we really needed to get across to society, to the average individual, that it really wasn't about keeping up with the Joneses. It wasn't about false pride. It isn't always about being poor and having to do this because our finances dictate the lifestyle that we live. It's really about leaving a legacy, about what we choose our footprint is going to be. And you know, we're only given so much time, and it's up to us to decide what we're going to do with that. And, you know, if we look back in our lifetime, you know, there's this visualization that Dave used in a couple of articles for people to try to picture the kind of impact they have as an individual. And so he started out by saying, okay, well, you know, picture yourself walking down, visualizing yourself walking down this pristine white sand beach. There's nothing there, just you. There's this beautiful landscape around you. Everything's lovely. And then you look behind you, and there's all the diapers, the plastics, the wrappers, the garbage that you've produced in your lifetime from your childhood on. And this includes the plastic wrappers that your furniture comes encased in and your car has come encased in and so forth. And you add all that up, and that's just your own personal contribution up to this point, you know. So we can stand up now as individuals, and we can make a huge difference in contributing to our society, in improving the economy and the environment of our society, of our immediate community, and having a huge impact across the globe just with really small daily actions right here in our own homes and right here in our own offices.
Well, I agree with that, and I think that more and more people, because there is an education and there are options, there are values in recycling. And my husband has been involved in manufacturing, and he has found ways of being able to cut the waste down to next to nothing. So it is a process of thinking. It is a re-education. Now, you bring out some different points, and I'm going to bounce around with the material that you've got here. A large company, National Polymers, figured out the impact of a 100-unit apartment building, what it would have on the environment if there was a maximum recycling participation over 1 year. And these are the numbers they came up with. They would save 21.93 30-foot trees, 8,389 kilowatts of electricity, 26.86 cubic yards of landfill space, and 77.4 pounds of air pollution. I don't know how they came up with that, but the paper industry, you point out, hello?
Hello.
Okay, something happened. I don't know what's going on.
Yes, I'm not sure what that was.
The paper industry has mm-hmm. just saved so much with the recycling that has been done. And they say, at least this is what you quote, that the industry's energy use has been cut by 35% and its air pollution by 95%. And for every ton of recycled paper, 17 trees and 3.3 cubic yards of landfill space are saved.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really quite fascinating.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people have asked me about those statistics. You know, how could there be, you know, 90% of this and 98% of that reduced? And what I often say is, you know, if we picture how things are produced, because we go into our mountains, we tear apart the earth, we spend a lot of fossil fuels in that process, and we dig into the earth and we refine this product down to an ore that we can bring down to the manufacturers where they refine it further and then process it into the product, and then from there it gets transported to the warehouses where from there, as it's sold, it's transported again to all of the retailers, which we all drive to or take the community transports to. And then we pick it up, we bring it home, and we have all of this packaging, which we then take apart and we send back into the waste stream. So if you calculate all of all of the effect that has on the environment from taking what is called virgin ore, which is a product that has not been processed, it is something you've taken out of a forest or out of a mountain or something like this, and before it's been refined. So you take this virgin ore, and from that process of the virgin ore to the product that we bring home to our homes, to our families, to our offices, it has a huge impact. So we can really reduce a huge amount. And again, you know, those numbers are so large because recycling has such a large impact. We're no longer having to, again, do all of that. We're cutting that loop at least in half, and we're able to reuse a product that we've already spent all that time and energy and resources into refining and taking from our natural environment. And we're able to take that and reuse it. And in doing so, we're also able to divert it from the waste stream, where it costs communities a huge amount of money. There's all kinds of off gases in leachates and all kinds of waste management issues, from windblown garbage to, well, there's just all kinds. Some areas burn their garbage. Not all areas contain that burning in an environmentally friendly manner. And there's all kinds of issues regarding the waste stream. So by taking that and recycling it, we're making a huge impact on the environment. Now, as an individual, one individual, we think, oh, we know, we're just one individual. What can we do in the scope of the entire world? We're bombarded by all of this negative information. We feel so small. But in fact, we as the individual, we can cut our own personal contribution to the land, to the landfill, to our local waste stream by 30% if we only take advantage of the recycling system in our own area, full advantage of the recycling system. Now, some areas will allow larger amounts of recycling, more kinds of materials than other areas, and in those areas your percentage would be slightly higher. But the average individual can cut down their waste by 30% simply by doing the recycling, participating in the recycling. And also, if they involve themselves in the organic recycling or the composting aspect of waste management, they can reduce their personal contribution to the waste stream by a further 30%. So right there, just those two systems that are already in place in society. We don't have to invent anything. We don't have to spend more money. This is something we can do right here, right now, you and I. We can reduce our personal contribution by 60%.
You address something in your book that I have very strong feelings about, and that is trees. Of course, living in the Pacific Northwest, and you're living in B.C., that is a very significant part of the beauty of the environment that we live in. And with population development, a lot of those trees are disappearing, because every time there's a new development, a new apartment building, something comes up for the population that's growing that is taking away those trees. But there is a real understanding now that is coming about, not that it's anything new, but an understanding that for every tree you have, it empowers the environment on so many levels, not just for animals, but also for clean air and for conservation of the soil in many ways. I know in our area that was so very, very important. There are so many trees that are used. How do you see this being able to be more acceptable? There's a woman in Africa who has put on a drive. She's had, I don't know how many millions of trees that have been planted because of what she's done. So many parts of the world, the fuel that they have, the only fuel they have is wood. And we're fortunate in this country that's not the case. But in so many parts of the world, it is not easy to bring the trees back that have been wiped out because of the climate, also because of the soil. What do you recommend that people do?
Well, I truly believe that we need to really look at ourselves, look in the mirror, and see what kind of things that we can do as an individual get involved and start doing some research about the area that we would like to see improved in our particular region. And when we look at a particular microsystem, we want to know what kind of animals are living there. What is the system that we're cleaning up? You know, is it a river bank that we're trying to reinforce? Is it a reforestation process that we're trying to go through? And what do we need in order to get the soil or the conditions right so that those seedlings will thrive once we plant them? Because once we raise the funds to purchase those seedlings on a grassroots level, we're also going to be needing to make sure we have that responsibility to make sure that those seedlings have a healthy environment to live in. And sometimes this involves planting a few things ahead of time, such as various grasses or whatever have you, that might condition the soil or prevent some of the issues that would put more stress on those seedlings when they get planted in that environment. So I really believe in the individual getting together. I mean, there's so many people that are involved in with their churches and with their local schools and, you know, within their own workplace. We can all just start a little drive and get a few people involved. And it's surprising how fast these things can sometimes grow and involve, you know, vast amounts of people just by, you know, one individual sparking an idea and getting a few people involved. So really just look in the mirror and see where we can start, and, you know, if it's in our own backyard, if it's in our own neighborhood, or, you know, can we do a community garden somewhere and go from there. You know, it's really easy to do. There's all kinds of information on the internet as to planting projects and gaining access to professionals who really know their stuff when it comes to the biological aspect of this.
You deal with plastic, and I know there's all types of plastic that is manufactured. And we've learned more and more how, for example, with soda pop, it affects the contents if it's left out in the sun, water, if it is kept in certain types of plastic, plastic develops certain chemical properties. And there's all kinds of information that's being put out. Regardless, plastic has proven to be, in many levels of our society, something very valuable, and we are learning that we can recycle it. And also we're learning that we can create a plastic type of product from food so that they are better and they are going to be very easily recycled. But let's talk about some of the beverage containers. There's different types of plastic. And on the bottom of the bottles, there are the numbers 1 through 7. And also there's something you mentioned about plastic containers number 3 through 7 are the most polluting process in the industry, and they're the most difficult to recycle. What, now, are those just plastic bottles, or are those like old plastic containers? What is the 3 through 7?
Well, you know, you'll find those plastics in all kinds of surprising places. The best bet is to really just look at the bottom of the bag or the bottle or the container that you're looking at, and it's going to tell you what number that your plastic is. And if possible, you can avoid purchasing containers that are in those plastics. But, you know, you raised a really good point about the recyclability of plastic. You know, plastic bags, you know, those that are used in the shopping industry right now, which are currently being phased out with all kinds of environmental alternatives. But right now, it's still mainstream to have plastic bags in our shopping world. But only 8% of those are recyclable, and yes, are recycled. And yet, all of them are recyclable. So, you know, it's the individual stepping up and making sure that those items are placed in the proper place. One thing about the shopping bags, too, that people may not realize is that they're very, very easily transported by wind. And, you know, 80% of the garbage that's found in our waterways, our oceans, our creeks, our streams, is carried by wind, 80% of that garbage. So we really need to make sure that we're responsible enough to make sure that plastic is put away. And there are, I mean, recycling is an industry that supports all kinds of economic booms to our own area, to our own country. Every item that we have that's plastic is derived really from a petroleum product. And so we're looking at every time we purchase product or every time we recycle product. Well, in fact, every time we recycle product means that our country needs to have less petroleum product imported in order to support our need for plastic. So there's a lot of ways that we can look at this. But there's a lot of businesses out there that thrive on us recycling that plastic. There's a lot of people employed in that industry that are out there manufacturing everything from clothing to backs of, you know, backs of CDs. All kinds of things are made from plastics, way too many to mention here. And there's so many people that are employed in that industry, thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are employed in that. And so we're really supporting our own country's economy by making sure that we contribute to the recycling industry as much as we personally can.
You're making some very good points. Now, you also have suggestions throughout your book, Trash Talk, that there are ways that we can use different things. And since we're talking about plastic, you know, we have the plastic jugs that often pet food will be in, or milk, or various products. And those are pretty hefty jugs. And some of them, like here in my neighborhood, the milk jugs have sort of narrow openings at the top. But then there are other jugs, like for pet food and other items, where they have nice, big, wide, open mouths on them. And you have some really good ideas in here, and something that kids can get involved with by making the jugs into plant pots, little mini greenhouses that you can use. You talk about fertilizing vine plants by cutting the bottom of the jug off and then burying the jug spout down into the soil beside the plant you wish to feed. And you have so many interesting ideas here. You even talk about using the jugs, and you have a pattern in the book where you can cut a portion of that big plastic jug away and use it as a scoop. And I think this is really terrific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the people that read our book are really amazed at all of the economic ways that they can turn something that they would formally think of as garbage, as waste, and they're able to turn it into something that actually saves them money around their homes and offices, around their farms, around their yards and workshops. But it also provides them more convenience. So they'll find this item very helpful as well for them. And it's just a new way of looking at our waste. In fact, it's renewing an old way of looking at waste. Our society has really turned away from living simply and making full use of an item before it just gets disposed of. We have a very bad habit of thinking, well, once it goes on the curb, once it goes down our drain, once it gets flushed down the toilet, it's gone, it's disappeared, everything's fine and dandy, and we skip off in the sunshine. But really, there's a huge environmental impact from the moment it leaves our home, from the moment we flush it down our toilet, and we pay for it. Every item that we flush down our toilet, every time we put an item on the curb, we're paying for it through our wallets in a variety of taxes, in a variety of ways. And by taking responsibility, we're not only helping our community, but we're really helping ourselves.
Yes, and that brings up an item that I spoke about a few weeks ago, and that is people with their medicines, putting them down the toilet. That's a no-no. You've got to find out where you can dispose of it, because it goes into the water table. And that's something else. Everything eventually gets to the water, and if we poison our environment, we poison ourselves, to be perfectly blunt. Let's talk about birds for a minute. I mean, here it is, springtime. We have all of these wonderful, wonderful feathered friends that are going to be gracing us with their beauty and their song. And you talk about birds in here, and you talk about putting a bell on a cat's neck if you've got an outdoor cat, but you also talk about how to make the environment friendly for the birds so that it's not a negative. And I know that when you're in certain areas of country, you may have a heavy rodent population that lives underground, and you have to be thoughtful. Maybe you cannot put a lot of seed out because you'll encourage the one. You love the birds, but you may have these other critters come and say, gee, I think I like your place too, so because they're going to feed on it. So what do you recommend for the birds?
Well, there's all kinds of things that one can do for the birds. The most important thing really is to make sure that your landscaping is bird friendly. There's all kinds of plants and bushes and trees that we can plant around our properties that we can have around our balconies and our patios if we don't even have yards, that really help attract wild birds to our area. You know, having birds are terrific. They're great for entertainment, of course, and also for education value, you know, for our family. But they're wonderful for keeping the pest population down, which in turn means we have to use, if you're into using sprays and non-organic methods, it means you have to use less of those because the birds are taking care of that naturally. They also consume copious amounts of weed seeds. And so if you've got a problem with weeds in your area, birds might very well cut a large part of that down for you. And so they help cut back a lot of work for us. They're just a wonderful aspect of life for sure in so many ways, absolutely. You can bring in fruit trees. You can bring in shelter trees. You can bring in bird houses, which are very easily made out of scrap lumber, which you can get free from virtually anywhere. There's just so many things that people can do to bring birds to their property. If you have certain crops that are bothered by birds, for instance, if you have a blueberry bush or you have a strawberry patch or something like that that you don't want birds getting into. In fact, in our garden, sometimes birds can be a little bit of a pest because they go in and they take some of my transplants. I'll put in some of my seeds. They'll go in and they'll eat my seeds, or I'll put in some real tender transplants and they'll go in and they'll have a little munch on them, which the tender transplants can't really stand up to yet. They're not big enough to stand up to. So for those kinds of situations, I just put a little netting, or I put reflective CDs, you know, those CDs you get from junk mailings, or mm-hmm. you have them mm-hmm. from your office. Those are great for reflecting and keeping birds away from particular crops or particular bushes that you want to keep them away from.
Let's talk about glass for a minute, and it's because you've got some interesting statistics here. 41 billion glass containers were produced in the U.S. in 1992, and in 1994, approximately 13.3 million tons of glass waste was generated in the U.S. food and beverage containers. It made up 91% of this amount. The remainder came from products like cookware, glassware, home furnishings, and plate glass. And a ton of glass produced from virgin materials creates 384 pounds of mining waste. In Germany, 76% of soft drinks are in refillable containers. In Austria, 95% of mineral water. And in Norway, 60% of wine and liquor are also refillable. So this is something that is a very valuable resource in so many different areas of product development. Fiberglass, for example, that industry uses over 500,000 tons of crushed glass, and they, you know, there's just so much that we don't even think of as consumers that glass goes into. So the reusing of glass, that has really been something that has picked up, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. There's so many ways to reuse glass in the industry. There's all kinds of companies that have come up with some great innovative ways of reusing glass. You know, from blasting abrasive, construction aggregate, reflective paint, tiles, insulation, all kinds of things have been happening in that industry. Way too many to mention here today. And, you know, really for us to turn and put that item in the landfill where we're further turning around and having to pay to manage is really just silly. It just seems such a backwards thing when that item is so very valuable in creating jobs and maintaining the society. And it's really become a global activity, reusing and recycling glass. Many, many areas are now, as you mentioned, are now refilling certain kinds of containers, which we could really do on a grand scale. We can take these examples of the mineral water, the soft drinks, the wine, and the liquor containers that are being reused, the recycling industry that is accepting or reimbursing the consumer with a small amount for the recycling of the glass items, such as in the case of beer bottles and these kinds of things. These are very encouraging aspects to the recycling industry, and I encourage us all to really participate in these programs as fully as possible, because the more that we participate, the more that we encourage the industry to incorporate other aspects, other possible resources in that industry, that particular glass industry. They could incorporate
Lillian,
perhaps...
I'm going to have to stop, hon, because we're out of time. And I want to remind people the book is Trash Talk. Now, Lillian could talk on forever about this. You can tell it's a passion. But she really has some fabulous information. So her website is brummett.ca, and that's www.brummett.ca. And you'll find all kinds of wonderful information. Lillian, I'm sorry I had to cut you off there, huh? But we're out of time.
Well, that's okay.
Keep up the good work. You've got a lot of wonderful information to share, and it really will make a difference. Very much
so. Thank you so much. Thank you.
It's a pleasure, Lillian. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't you go away now. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. If you're a new listener to the show, I'm so delighted that you've been able to join us. And all you need to do is give me your first name or your initial. I just take it from there. That's all I need from you. And then you're welcome to ask me a question after I finish giving you the perceptions and insights that I have. Now, by the way, I want to let you know about my guest tomorrow, Richard Fuller. His book is titled All Rise, Somebody's, Nobody's, and the Politics of Dignity. We live in a time when the word dignity is even, well, it's hardly ever used. His perspectives are just outstanding, and I know that you will enjoy him. By the way, all of the information about my upcoming guest is up on bbsradio.com. Go in and peruse through it so you'll find out who's coming up. We've got career contentment. Yes, you can have it too. And we're going to be talking about that on Monday. We're going to be talking about our mother's successful accomplishment, about working with her child that was diagnosed with ADHD. This is her victory over ADHD. We'll be talking to her next week. Crisis and Opportunity with Jochen Eichard, how we can make things happen. And we can take what seems to be a negative and turn it into a positive. Also, we're going to be talking about the United Symbolism of America. Dr. Bob Hieronymus is going to be on the air with us. And then if you're a pet lover, you're not going to want to miss Merle's Door by Ted Carasote. This is just absolutely a wonderful group of people, and we've got even more than that coming up here on The Donna Sebo Show, and I invite you to join us. Don't forget that we also have archives of all the shows, so if you miss one and you go, oh, fiddle, I missed it, well, hey, come on in and give us a visit. You can go to the archives and you can check it out. You don't have to miss a thing. If you've heard a show that you like, you can go and you can play it again at your leisure, whenever you like. So check on bbsradio.com for all of that information that enables you to do exactly that. Wally Amos is a man that I have a great deal of respect for. He's been a guest on my show. And for those of you who are not familiar with him, he founded a famous, very famous chocolate chip cookie company, ended up losing the company, and has ended up going into various businesses. This man shares so much wisdom. I've seen him in person. He is just a very gracious human being. And I love the tidbits of wisdom that he brings out. He's very real. He's very down to earth. And he makes it so that you understand that just because someone has had their moment of fame in whatever form they've been given the privilege of experiencing, that doesn't mean that you aren't going to have due diligence about life on multiple levels. And this is what Wally Amos said. He now is he's the founder of Uncle Wally's Muffin Company, and he has a website, wallyamos.com, if you want to go in and see the wonderful things he's got for kids. But he said he's discovered there's two words in the English language that are critical to success. Two P words, as he calls them, patience and process. He said he has noticed that he's not in too good a supply of both. It's sort of on the short end with him. He's one of these people that if he's going to do something, boy, he's going to go out and do it, and everything's supposed to happen. Does that sound familiar? How many times have we all wanted to do something and we didn't want to put in the patience and persistence that it would take to see it through to the level of accomplishment? Well, he addresses this, and he said he's had a lot of teachers in his life that have come about to teach him this, and if he's not learned it well enough, he finds that the teachers keep on coming in. And one of his biggest teachers recently was his new business, Chip and Cookie. He said it's not that new a business because we opened it in August of 2005 in Oahu, and he said, 30 years ago, when I opened up my first business, Famous Amos, we had all kinds of advertising we did in Hawaii, and man, it just took off. It was just phenomenal. His story is almost like a storybook story. It's just absolutely amazing. Well, he thought that that was going to happen again with his new business, Chip and Cookie. He went out, he did the same thing, he got his print, television ads. He said, because of my name recognition, I thought that the cookies would begin going out the door. He said, I wanted the business to be successful right now, just like that. He said, it has been said to me that we plan and God laughs. Well, he said, apparently he's been having a huge belly laugh because 2 years later, we still have no profit in the business. Wally and his wife, Christine, and an investor have had to keep the doors open with a lot of loans to the business. So it has been a real challenge for them. He said, however, if you hang in and make positive decisions, things will get better. And now, 3 years into the process, their sales are increasing, and they're planning a second store for Waikiki in the second quarter of 2008. He said, in the meantime, I have had to really deal with being patient. And he said, I learned another lesson, a big one, about patience years ago when I was raising money for two TV pilots that would promote the values and benefits of reading aloud to children. And he partnered with a particular station in Kansas City, Missouri. It was a public television station. And everyone involved became very frustrated. Things weren't moving. And he said he learned that it pays to be aware of how other people do their work, what makes them successful. He said, process is a humbling and a very great teacher. Now, he said, ultimately, we were able to get our money together. We produced two beautiful and educational pilots, but the shows didn't sell. We knew that we had done quality work, and he said, I learned a great deal from doing the process. He said, who knows? I may still invest in that. But Wally's message with all of this that he's sharing is, be patient and practice process in your life and business. It really can make you a better person. I was talking with someone this morning that was going through an extremely difficult time because they were so frustrated with where they were, and like all of us, wanted to make a change, just feeling like they were in a bunch of peanut butter mentally and also in their working environment and other things. And they just couldn't see the forest for the trees. By the time we got finished talking, they began to realize that they had a lot of options available to them. Sometimes to be able to move forward, you have to reach out and ask questions. Be open to different people doing different things. And understand that you're the one that has to have the interest, the persistence, the follow-through. Because if what you do really means a lot to you, one way or the other, you're going to find the means to be able to achieve what you want to achieve. So as Wally said, the two P's, patience and process, they are very valuable and they will serve you very, very well. But isn't it wonderful when you hear about someone that doesn't have to put in seemingly as much sweat and effort as you to get things done? Remember, their journey maybe has taken them through different routings. Why not ask them what made them successful? I've watched a lot of people walk away from opportunity because they've been afraid. They've been afraid because maybe they didn't understand what the responsibility is. They've been afraid because they haven't been able to be comfortable with the fact of working as a team with some people is going to require a whole different level of thinking. Remember, we're custodians in this world, and we're not going to take anything with us when we leave. But wouldn't it be nice to leave a legacy of success on whatever level is most meaningful to you? Again, you can't make gazillions. You can't take them with you. So why not be a good custodian while you're here? And put what you do to work in a wonderful way that is going to make you feel good about who you are, what you're doing, and the way that you're doing it. There's all kinds of people and all kinds of ways of doing things in this world, but remember, how you feel about yourself is the most important thing that you have to live with. Most of the world doesn't give a hoot anyhow, but you do. So I really liked what Wally had to share, and I thought it was worth sharing with you today. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. I would be delighted to talk with you, give you my intuitive insight. Yes, for those of you that might have just tuned in, I am a psychic. This is something I enjoy sharing with you. 877-876-5227 is the toll-free number for the U.S. For Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. And we also have a local number of 530-876-3222. Now, we're going to take a break for a moment, and I did start to share with you some information about a home sinus remedy that's been around for, oh my goodness, I guess forever, but it's finally being recognized as the most effective way of dealing with something called sinusitis. And boy, having gone through that myself, I know what that's like. Let's take a break for a moment. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, and we'll be back shortly to share more things with you. Donna Sebo here. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition?
Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756 for those of you in Canada, or 530-876-3222. Yesterday I started talking about an article that I had come across in a nurse's magazine, and this is about 92% of patients in the United Kingdom and 85% to 98% in the United States being prescribed antibiotics for sinus infections. Now, they have found in studies that this is totally ineffective, and a British study that was led by Williamson, an antibiotic amoxicillin and a nasal steroid, budesonide, were no more effective than a placebo for treating acute sinusitis. So they did some research. They said, okay, antibiotics and inhaled nasal, you know, steroids are being used more often than the published efficacies would encourage. Now, clinical support is growing for an effective and cheaper alternative to antibiotics or steroids. Nasal saline rinsing. They're also known as nasal irrigation or washes. And there was a 12-week trial that was done by Slapik and colleagues with children who had had cold sinus infections that had received standard medications, and they said, okay, let's see what we can come up with. And they found out that the saline wash group had fewer blocked noses and sore throats than those who didn't use saline. Also, the saline wash group also took fewer drugs, including antibiotics, and had fewer sick days. And in 2007, there was a Cochrane collaboration review of studies involving adults and children, saying that the saline rinses are beneficial in the treatment of rhinosinusitis. So what they feel is happening here is that the salt water is washing away inflammatory compounds, and the natural cilia that's in your nose, it enables the mucus and any debris to be swept away. And what they find, if the patients do it once or twice a day, that it really works great. And there are pre-measured packets that you can get at your pharmacy This is something you buy right over the counter. And Donald Leopold said that he said there are so many sprays that you can get, and if you don't want to buy a premixed solution, you can make your own by dissolving iodine-free salt and baking soda in lukewarm distilled or boiled water. Now, there's a book relating to this, Nuances of Nasal and Sinus Self-Help, that you can get. And there are all kinds of products. They have little tiny items that you can use. There are bulb syringes and adapters. There's all kinds of things that you can do. But you can go to the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, and you can find a recipe there and also the step-by-step procedure. Now, I have to share with you, this is a problem that developed for me many years ago, and I didn't realize that that was the problem. And as I said yesterday on the air, I started to talk about it before we got a caller, I had been traveling over there doing broadcasting appearances and meeting with clients, and every time I'd come back from the islands, I thought I had a cold, and I thought I had gotten something on the plane. But what it really was sinus irritation, and it came from being in hotels where everything is closed up because you have mold and things like this. This is a tropical environment, and at that time, they didn't give any consideration to the fact that mold and different items have their own life form that they develop, and in your air conditioning system, this is automatic. You have the molds and fungi and everything else that go popping out into the air. So when I learned about this, and I really didn't know anything about it, but a neighbor of mine who had had major problems for a long time saw a military doctor one day, and the doctor said, "You've got sinusitis." And he said, "Well, what do I do about it?" And he said, "Use salt water." And it was like an eighth of a teaspoon in a cup of water, I think. It was a very small, small amount. And he said, just put that and just use it regularly, and you won't have a problem with your sinuses. And my neighbor said, by golly, I've done it, and it works. Well, I found if I use this, then I don't have a problem. If there's something with a cold that might be coming about, or you have an awareness that your sinuses are beginning to be a problem, that saline solution, whether you buy it or you do your own over-the-counter, is really a wonderful, wonderful thing to use. And I use it, and it's just great. It has caused irritation to disappear. So something that's not going to cost you very much at all, not even a penny's worth of salt is used. So you can have something that you can use with your children and for yourself, and it really is safe. But you can go to that website that I mentioned, the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, and they will have a section devoted to sinusitis and the rinse, and you can go in there and get the recipe and have it all right handy. Getting ready to travel? Boy, oh boy, the airports are packed. If you're like me, you try to plan ahead and try to figure out what you're going to need. Well, as I've become more experienced with travel, it's lighter. Because in the airports anymore, you don't want to waste any more time, and you don't want to have any excess weight because you're limited in what you can take. So you need sometimes to pack up 2 weeks' worth of materials, clothing, whatever else you might need on a trip. So you really want to look at how you can make your packing most effective and efficient. You want to really think about what you need. You've got to have a personal packing list, and if it is something you don't need, don't put it in the bag. You really need to think it through. So write up that list, and also if you have a packing list, make sure that you don't leave anything behind. That is so important. It is really handy. And, well, remember, you're going to want to use specific techniques to utilize the space that you have in your bag. My goodness, we're running out of time again. How about if I share this with you tomorrow? Don't forget, we're going to have a wonderful guest tomorrow, Richard Fuller. All rise. Fabulous guy. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. There is so much in life to enjoy, to be experienced, and you are going to be able to have the best of what you want. Don't forget the patience, and don't forget persistence. And remember, too, be open to opportunity. My newsletter is out. It'll be up on my website. Come tomorrow. So you will be able to see what my topic and theme is going to be about there. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.